you, choir. Thank you, praise group. Thank you, musicians and media team and everybody that's been working tonight up to this service. Everybody that's been praying, seeking the face of God. Just so many working parts that support the presence of God that you feel in a moment like this. And we set the table. All of this is so very powerful and very effective. But we love the Word of God. And now, I mean, I don't know where your head is about this and what you think about the things of God. But when it says we sit together in heavenly places, we are fellowshipping with supernatural, with invisible things right now. In the presence and the power of God, the portal of God is wide open. And this is a place where I just want to drink in the Word of God. And I'm so glad there's a preacher in the house tonight. And I'm so glad to have access to the Word of God tonight. Brother Booker, we love you. And we want you to come tonight. And we want you to just tell us whatever the Holy Ghost is saying. Would you just extend your hand toward him and pray blessing upon his house, his family, the church there in Rialto. We love you, Brother Booker.
Why don't we just talk to the Lord together right now? Come on, lift your voice. Let's love him. Let's love him. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit. Oh, let's entertain his presence for just a couple of moments. Lord, we love you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody love the presence of the Lord tonight? There's nothing like being in his house, feeling the sweet touch of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I want to say it's so good to be here with this church and with this great group of people. And I hope you understand how blessed you are to be right where you are, where God has planted you. At this church to see what the Lord is doing. Are you glad to be a part of what God is doing around here? I'm excited. Amen. And it is my first time to be here, but I just tell you, I am so encouraged and so blessed to see what God is doing here in this area, in this church. And I feel like God is just getting started. God's got great, great plans. And so good to be here with the Suttons, with their family, and appreciate all the hospitality, all the kindness during my stay here, the room, the food. Somebody made a basket. I think I'm here for 48 hours, and the basket would feed a family of eight for about a week. And so thank you, whoever put that together. Sister Tabitha, God bless you, whoever you are. There she is. Thank you. Amen. And all the good things that are happening. So good to be here with you. Good to be here with the Borders. God bless them. And praying for the work of the Lord there in New Zealand. And glad to be here with them tonight. Amen. Love you, Brother Sutton. Love your family, Sister Sutton. And what a great, great family and the great church. Good to be a part of what the Lord is doing. Amen. I know you're standing. And if you have your Bibles, I would like to turn to the book of Nahum, chapter number one. The book of Nahum, chapter number one. Amen. If you have a Thompson chain, it's page 986. That may help you a little bit. And Nahum, chapter number one. I'm going to begin reading with verse number one. Boy, it was beautiful. The six kids that received the Holy Ghost in Sunday school today. I mean, that's shouting news. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Nahum chapter number one, when we begin reading with verse number one, says, "The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite." And he begins to say, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger. It takes him a while to get mad. Great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry. and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth in Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. I don't know about you, but I don't want God mad at me. But he goes on, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. I'm going to skip up to verse number 15. The prophet, after talking about how mad God is, he is mad at Nineveh. The prophet tells and turns his attention to Judah and begins to say, behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts. Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. I want to read that little bit there in verse number 15 where it says, keep thy solemn feasts. In the NIV, it just says, celebrate your festivals. Celebrate your festivals. Another one puts it, celebrate your feasts, because the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Is there anybody glad to know that God's in control around this place? That God is the one dictating the events around here. He's the one controlling the traffic around here. Amen, amen. I want us to pray together and ask that God would have his way in this place tonight. Would you help me pray? Jesus, we thank you, God, for your spirit. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the power of God that's in this place. Oh, we worship you, God. We ask that you would bless your word, bless your people. Move in this place in a mighty way, God. Grip our hearts and our minds, our spirits, Lord. Do your work as only you can. We love you and we worship you. Amen. One more time before we're seated, let's thank God for what he's going to do in these next few minutes. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. Lift your voice to him. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Nahum is closely affiliated with another book, maybe a little bit more well-known, and that is the book of Jonah. The books of Jonah and Nahum are sister books, and I guess the book of Nahum could be considered a sequel to the book of Jonah. And Nahum begins his prophecy about 150 years after Jonah gives his prophecy to the city of Nineveh. And both of these books are written about the city, the wicked city, the capital city of Nineveh. This was, if you allow me just a couple minutes to describe Nineveh. Nineveh was a mega city at that time. It was a metropolis. It was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And in Jonah's day, it's estimated that the population could have been as high as 600,000 people. And we know the story that God began to deal with Jonah, began to tell him, I want you to go and I want you to speak to the city of Nineveh and tell them that they need to repent. And we know that Jonah got the memo from God and he said, God, you told me to go that way. Well, I'm going to buy a ticket and I'm going to get as far the opposite direction as I can. And he buys a ticket and heads in the opposite way because he had heard about how Nineveh felt about preachers. And you can read in history that what Nineveh would do is they would take a preacher. And this is how they would show how much they appreciated them. They would take them and they would skin them alive. And they would take their skin and literally tack it to the side of the walls of the city, so that the next preacher that came by would understand, maybe I ought to just go down the road. And so I assume Jonah had heard about this and as I said, he went somewhere else and began to try to run from the Lord. But I think we understand tonight that's always a bad move. And God got his attention, and God put him on in the middle of a storm. And before it was over, they had thrown him overboard. And you know the story, he was swallowed by a great fish. And I can only imagine all that went on inside that fish. I do know that it drove Jonah to his knees. He began to repent. And I imagine 3 days of smelling fish innards would make anybody repent. And at the end of 3 days... God figured he had repented enough, and so he took him, that fish, God navigated him over to the shore, and the fish puked him out on the shore. And I don't know what Jonah looked like, but I don't think he looked like much at that point. And I know he didn't smell like much. And I can see this man, this preacher of the gospel, covered in seaweed and whatever else you might find in the belly of a fish. And he suddenly is going to go preach the gospel. And he goes to Nineveh. And I still don't read where he seemed to have too much burden or too much compassion for the city. He just was doing it because he didn't want to end up back inside the fish. And yet he goes and he begins to preach these words. His message was short and it was sweet. He just simply began to say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. He was essentially preaching a message of repentance, and he would walk into the villages and he would look around and everybody would look at this stinky, weird looking preacher with seaweed hanging over his ears and fish scales in his hair. And he would look at them and he would blurt out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And incredibly, something began to happen. As he would go through those villages, people began to repent. People began to fall on their knees and begin to say, God, forgive us for our sins. Now, I'll just tell you, that does something for a young preacher. Well, a middle-aged preacher. That does something for me tonight. It lets me know there is power in this gospel message. And he didn't even have a burden. He hadn't prayed too much about it, except just let me out of the fish. And yet the power of that message was such that it drove an entire nation to its knees, where the people in the market began to repent and the people in the palace began to repent. That whole nation became a place of repentance and weeping and praying before God. I'm going to tell somebody, I'm glad that I know this apostolic gospel. There is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says it wasn't very long before Nineveh backslid and backslid from the repentance. And so that's where Nahum comes in. In 721 BC, give or take, this nation went and conquered the northern nation of Israel. So then about 8 years later is when Nahum begins to prophesy and begins to preach Jonah's message of destruction again. And so that's what we were reading tonight. We were reading the burden that God had put upon another man, another Jonah by the name of Nahum, to go and preach to Nineveh. And he's preaching a message that God is upset. God is not happy with Nineveh. The Bible, now just again, he says that God is jealous and God revengeth and God is furious and he reserveth his wrath for his enemies. And the mountains quake at him and the hills melt and the earth is burned at his presence. I'm going to tell you, I don't want God mad at me. I don't want God upset at me. The Bible is telling and describing the fact that God is mad at this nation because of what they have done to his people. And the Bible says finally that God says in verse 9 through Nahum that what do you imagine against the Lord? What have you been thinking against God? Why are you messing with my people? He says, God will make an utter end. Nineveh, you've messed with the wrong people this time. You're messing with God's people. And affliction shall not rise up the second time. What God is saying, listen, I'm done with you. Judgment is coming. I'm gonna take care of business. It's God saying, when I hit you, when I smite you, I won't have to do it two times. And I just want to stop and tell somebody tonight, there is a God that is sitting in the heavens and he is paying attention to what the devil would like to do to you. Don't ever get it in your mind that God doesn't see what is happening to you. Don't ever get it in your mind that God doesn't care what is happening to your marriage and God doesn't care what's happening to your teenagers. I'm gonna tell you, there's a God that is furious. He's upset. He's uptight. And furthermore, can I tell you, when he begins to judge and he begins to take care of the enemies of God, he's gonna do a good job. I've come to bring hope to somebody tonight. I'm going to just tell somebody, I really do feel like God is mad at at the devil. God is mad at the enemies of God's people. God is upset at some of the things that have come against a new life and the marriages and families in this church. And I'm going to tell you, well, you don't mess with God's people. When God is mad, he's going to take care of business. He's going to take care of it real good. When he takes care of business, you might as well just shout about it now, because God cares about you. Amen, amen. Amen. And that's exactly what Nahum is saying. Nahum is saying in verse number 15, listen, I want you to know God is mad. He's upset. He's uptight. Nineveh, you've messed with the wrong people. But then he turns to Judah and says, in fact, it is so certain. I've got good news for you. I've come to bring good tidings to you. And Judah, what it is, when the wicked, when God deals with him, the wicked shall no more pass through. God will utterly cut him off. And Nahum says, you might as well keep celebrating your feasts. When he says, remember your solemn feasts, he is talking about the things that the Jews would celebrate. He's saying it is so certain that God is going to come on the scene. It is so certain that God is going to help you that you might as well go ahead and party and rejoice, because God is going to come on the scene. Amen. It was 100 years before God would take care of them. But the prophet is saying it's so certain, it is so absolute that God is going to take care of your enemies. You might as well start rejoicing tonight. And oh, I want to preach to a church. It's time for somebody to begin to worship and to rejoice and to praise the Lord. In fact, it's time for some people to just continue to have a Holy Ghost apostolic party in the house of God. It may not look like the devil is defeated. It may not look like the devil's on the run. But I'm going to tell you, there's a God that's saying you might as well get up and shout about it now, because it is so certain that God is going to come on the scene. Oh, you ought to clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody glad to know we serve that kind of God tonight? Amen. Is it all right if I just preach about that kind of a God? Can I talk to you about him? We serve a God tonight that likes to have a good time. I don't know what your view of God is, but can I tell you, God enjoys the party atmosphere we had in this place tonight. In fact, you can read in your Bible, God looks for reasons to throw a party. You ever met people like that? I'm married to a people like that. When we were growing up, we would have birthday parties, you know, on not necessarily every year. I mean, we would do it every year with the family kind of thing, but it'd be the big ones when we'd throw the big party and so on. But my wife, she is looking for opportunities to throw a party. And we don't just throw a little party. I mean, we kill a cow and we invite everybody. And aunts and uncles come flying in from all over the place. And it's just a big deal. And we barbecue. And we don't, it doesn't have to be his 16th birthday. It could be the 6-month birthday or the baby's potty trained. Let's have a party. I tell you, we serve a God that's a lot more like my wife than he's like me. He looks for reasons to party. You read in the Bible, they would have weekly parties and annual parties and every few year kind of parties. They would have parties based on agriculture. It was time to sow, let's party. It's time to harvest, let's party. There were parties based on times and seasons and historical events and customs. You've heard of the Passover or unleavened bread. This is just a few of the festivals of the Jews, the feast of Pentecost or harvest or weeks, the feast of tabernacles or booths, the day of atonement, the feast of dedication. This was a later feast that the Jews began. The new moon, the Sabbath day. We all know about the Sabbath day. This is where they would all get together and say, hey, we're going to have a party and rejoice because we're going to the house of the Lord. And if you ever read about the Jews, this is how they'd do it. I mean, the dads would get with their boys and they would prepare themselves mentally all that day long. Hey, it's almost time for Sabbath. It's almost time to go to the house of the Lord. And then they would begin to go. And I'm telling you, when they would go, they would be rejoicing. Sometimes they'd literally be dancing as they went to the house of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, we got a reason to rejoice when we go to the house of the Lord. Amen. They celebrated the year of Jubilee, the 7 months of festivals, that's the Feast of Trumpets and all these different. And then there's the three great feasts that we all know about. The Feast of Passover. This was the feast where the lamb was slain and the blood was applied. And every year God said, throw a party and rejoice about it. And I'll tell you, that's still a good reason to rejoice in an apostolic church. How many know that the lamb has been slain? How many are still thankful that the blood has been applied? How many are still thankful that the blood has been applied to your house? It works. The blood is efficacious. The blood will take your sins away. I'm going to tell you, that's a reason just that alone to get to your feet and shout and rejoice on a Sunday night at an apostolic church. Amen. There was the Feast of Pentecost. This is the feast when the law was given. I'm going to tell you, that's a reason to rejoice in an apostolic church. Anybody thankful for the Word of God? Amen. Just that alone ought to give you reason to clap your hands and lift your voice and shout for joy. I tell you, this is a party atmosphere, and it's right because God enjoys a party atmosphere. Amen. There was the Feast of Tabernacles. This is where they would celebrate their permanent home. This is the Jews saying, we used to wander in the wilderness. We used to not have a home. And they would build these little booths in the promised land. And what it was to do was to remind their kids that, listen, we now are no more strangers. We're pilgrims no more. We've got a home. I'm going to tell you, we got a reason to rejoice tonight. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I got a reason to shout. I don't live for just this world. I don't live just for the day to day in this world. But someday come getting up morning, the trumpet's going to shout that sound. And I'm going to shout about it because I'm going to meet my Jesus in the air. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands and thank God. God likes a party. Amen, amen. You can be seated. God chose to move on feast days. He often would do things. You ever notice that in your Bible? He would do it on feast days. I really believe that neat things happen in a party atmosphere. You ever notice the fact that it was on the day of Pentecost that God chose to pour out his Spirit? It was a party atmosphere. And God said, I can do neat things in a party atmosphere. We know when Jesus did his first miracle, he didn't do it at a funeral. He didn't do it in a boring atmosphere. Where did he do it? He did it in a wedding. He did it in a party where they were getting, just having a good old time. And there's part of me that wonders, I don't know, if God chooses to operate on these feast days, could it be that when the rapture takes place, it'll be on that Feast of Tabernacles where we're going to rejoice about the fact that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm going to tell you, even in heaven, there's going to be parties. Anybody hear the marriage supper of the Lamb? We're going to eat in heaven. We're going to have a good time in heaven. We're going to have fun in heaven. And I'll take this just a little bit further. God is not done partying now. You know, there's a lot of people that got that mentality. Some people seem to think that Pentecost was the last time that the church should throw a party. You ever talk to somebody like that? They say there's no more rushing mighty wind. There's no more fire, no more speaking in tongues. You ever meet people like that? That's a party pooper, let me tell you. No more Holy Ghost. No more getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. That tell you it's just dead church. You talk to them and they just say it's just a dry sermon and liturgy and sermonizing. You just sit and listen and just endure till the preaching's done. Pentecost is come and gone, they tell us, and the partying is over. You know what I've come to tell somebody tonight? If there ever was a time for the church to have good church, if there ever was a time for us to have a good time at church, if there ever was a time for you to shout and dance and rejoice, this is that time. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not here with some kind of emotionalism or hype, but dear God, help us. If we can't have emotion and excitement in the house of God, then Lord, where are we going to have it at? Amen. If you can't have fun at church, you're in bad shape, because that's where we go most of the time. But I'm in a place tonight, we know what it is to have a good time. We know what it is to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. We know what it is to rejoice and shout and praise God and rejoice. You know what I've come to do tonight? I've just come to tell somebody, don't stop the party. Don't stop the party. Don't ever get it in your mind that what's going on around here is something that maybe it's just too much, or maybe our visitors can't take it, or maybe it's going to discourage. Come on now. You know what the world is looking for? They're looking for a party. They're looking for something exciting. They're looking for something that's real. And if anybody ought to rejoice in the Lord, it's some one God, Jesus' name, apostolics that are full of the Holy Ghost, that know there's one God and his name is Jesus, that been born of the water and born, oh hallelujah, somebody ought to rejoice every time you come to the house of God. There's a party in this place. Oh, clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. I'm not going to preach too much longer, but I do want to encourage somebody tonight. You need to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And I think I'm in a safe place to preach that. Hallelujah. I think I'm in a church that enjoys worshiping God. But can I tell you, you need to praise God regardless of what it looks like. Regardless of even how your past has been. When Nahum was prophesying this, it was just a few years since Nineveh had triumphed over Israel. Just 8 years ago. They had heard the chariot wheels of Nineveh come rolling through their northern country. Think about that. Just 8 years before, Nineveh had come rolling through Israel and taken them away. And they can still perhaps remember the screams and yells of enemy soldiers and those that they had taken captive. And the Assyrians, as they carried the northerners away. But Nahum is saying, don't stop because of what has happened. You need to understand God's going to take care of this. Make a feast. Set the table. Rejoice. Prepare for a good time. Bring people to the party. Send out invitations. It doesn't matter what just happened. It's time to forget the past, and it's time to rejoice in the Lord. And oh, I want to preach to somebody right now. Come on, you need to forget about the past. I don't care if the devil has screamed in your ears about what he did 8 years ago or 5 years ago, or what he did to your family, or what he did to your the people across the church. You need to get it in your mind that I'm going to praise God because God is in control. It doesn't matter what yesterday looked like. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise him. Amen, amen. In fact, you need to rejoice regardless of what your present looks like. Nahum was saying Nineveh is still strong and powerful. They may be as scary as ever, but God has spoken. God has spoken. God has spoken. He is saying, I'm going to take care of that problem. I'm going to take care of what's been messing with your home. I'm going to take care of your marriage. You don't need to worry. Come on. Goliath may be screaming from across the valley at you and crowing and saying, send me a man. But don't wait till Goliath is dead. You need to rejoice now. The devil may be a roaring lion making noises about your family, making noises about your job, about your house, about the economy, about your health. You may be sick in your body tonight, but the word of the Lord is coming to somebody tonight, and God is saying, you need to have a party now, right now, in the middle of that mess, in the middle of that circumstance. You need to get your wife by the hand and say, we're going to go to church. You need to get your teenagers and walk to the house of God and begin to praise God and rejoice in the middle of that circumstance. You may be about to lose your home, but you need to have some Holy Ghost fortitude that says, God is going to take care of me. God is on the throne, and I'm going to rejoice and praise his name. Oh, you ought to clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I really am getting close to being done, but I'm going to tell you, God likes a party. God likes what's been going on around here. New Life, don't ever stop this. Don't ever stop this. Don't stop the party. In fact, you need to have a party just thinking about what God is going to do in the future. Just imagining the good things that are coming down the road. Now look around this place. Look at what God is doing. Look at new faces. Look at 6 Sunday school kids that have gotten the Holy Ghost. And I know there's been many others this year. And look at those that are being baptized. And look at the Bible studies. And look at the new church plants that are coming down the road. I'm going to tell somebody, you need to praise God right now because of the future of New Life and what God is doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You know, there's a principle about just staying in a party mode. Just staying in a party mode. Just ready to have a party. I got neighbors across the street. They're either always having a party, they're cleaning up after a party, or they're getting ready for the next party. You know, I think there's some wisdom to that. I think apostolics ought to either be having a party, cleaning up after a party, or getting ready for a party. I read about, and you've heard this preached a million times. We know about the prodigal son, do we not? And the prodigal son, when he comes home, the Bible says that there was a pre-fattened calf that was there. That means daddy was back at home, and he had a son that was in a far country. You know, there's nothing more depressing than having a backslidden family member. There's nothing that'll weigh you down. There's nothing that'll mess with your head. There's nothing that'll make you want to put up the party equipment and take the jumpers back and put up the tables and say, we're done partying. But the father in the story of the prodigal, he refused to lose the party atmosphere. And every day, you know, he would go out and there was a calf out there, and either he did it or he had somebody doing it. He said, feed that thing, stuff that thing full. Has he eaten? Feed him again. Feed him again. I mean, I want that thing to just be bulging I want him to be stuffed. I want that thing to be fat, because I've got a feeling that we're going to need those jumpers and those tables and those party hats and those noisemakers. And he was fattening that calf for the day that that boy would come walking down the road. And I'm preaching to New Life. Come on, church. Keep it up. Keep having a party. Don't ever get tired on Sunday morning of coming to the house of God and clapping your hands and lifting your hands and dancing before the Lord. Mom and Dad, don't ever get tired of coming on a Sunday night and shouting and rejoicing. Don't ever get tired, Mama, with that baby gone, run off to a far country. Don't ever get tired of coming to God's house and in faith worshiping him and praising God and saying, I'm going to have a party. We're going to shout when we don't feel like it, because God is going to do something beautiful in this place. Oh, somebody ought to lift your hands and praise the Lord with me. Hallelujah. In fact, why don't we stand all across this place? Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your voice to the Lord. Come on. on, let's lift our voice. Men, I need you to praise the Lord with me. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, sis, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Is anybody glad to be a one God Jesus name apostolic? Amen, amen. You know, it feels good in this place. It feels like a party atmosphere. But Brother Sutton, I've lived for God long enough to know that there are cycles even in the best churches. There are times when you gotta pray a little harder to break through. There's times when it feels like more are leaving than coming, even in the best churches. There's times when you feel like you got to press a little bit. You know what the answer to that is? The answer's not to sit down and pout. The answer's not to give the devil credit. The answer's not to say the devil's in control. But the answer is to fatten a calf even when you're out of a job. It's to fatten a calf even when you do go through a pay cut. It does make sense to get ready for a party for the day that God completely fills this church. I don't see a lot of empty chairs, but someday by the grace of God, I don't want there to be one empty chair in this place. And I'm going to shout about it and rejoice about it and tongue talk about it because God is a mighty, mighty, mighty God. Oh, is there anybody glad to be in an apostolic church? Hallelujah. You know what I feel? I just feel a Holy Ghost excitement in this place. I feel like God has come to just tell you, you know what, New Life? Just keep having a party. You know what you do on Wednesday night? You come, you hear the teaching and the preaching, but have a party while you're doing it. Come on Sunday morning and have a Holy Ghost hoedown. Come on Sunday night. You know what the visitors need to see? They need to see a bunch of people with something worth shouting about, with something worth worshiping about. Keep on having a party. I'll tell you how we're going to end this. We're just going to end it like we started. I'm going to open this altar in just a moment, and I want somebody to come down. Listen, maybe there's a mama out there with a backslidden son. Mama, you know what you need to do? It'd be good to just fatten the calf tonight. Mama, you know what you need to do? You need to come down to this altar and begin to prepare for the party day. Shout now like you'll shout the night that that boy comes back home and prays back through. There may be somebody here tonight that's about to lose their home. You know what you need to do? I know it's a lot easier said than done, but we need some men and women that have the Holy Ghost discipline to go down and begin to shout like God has given me back my home, like God has given me a job, like God has put it back together, and begin to have a party. If you're a guest in this place, can I just tell you something? You know why we're here rejoicing? Because we serve a God that likes us to have a party. This is the best life in all the world. In just a moment, we're going to begin to praise and worship the Lord. But listen, if you're here tonight and you want more out of life than what you've got, if you want more than just a Friday night party where you wake up with a hangover, you ought to come on down to this altar and begin to join somebody right now. You can get the Holy Ghost. God can fill you with His Spirit. You'll never be the same again. They're going to begin to sing and worship. I wonder, is there anybody that could come with your hands raised? Is there a mama that's got a backslidden son? Is there a daddy that's got a backslidden son? Is there a wife that's got a husband estranged from her that would come to this altar and begin to praise the Lord as they begin to sing? Why don't we come and lift our voice, lift our hands. Hallelujah. Come on down to this altar. If you're a guest tonight, why don't you step out in the aisle and come on down to this altar. I feel like a Holy Ghost party could happen in this place again. That's it. Step out in the aisle. Make your way down to this front. That's it. There's still room in this altar. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Join us down here. Now I'm looking for somebody that'll begin to prepare for a party. Is there anybody that'll begin to praise the Lord? Begin to worship the Lord. Come on, men, let's begin to praise Him as they begin to sing. Let's shout for joy. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody ought to praise Him. Somebody ought to praise Him. Somebody ought to lift their voice. That's it, sir. Oh, you ought to shout for that new building.
Some of you young men need to shout for the day that mom and dad comes and gets the Holy Ghost. Come on, they're going to begin to sing. I want you to begin to shout. They're going to begin to play. I want you to begin to worship God. Don't forget the feast. Come on, Pentecost. Don't forget the shouting. Oh, clap your hands and give him praise. Moment. Why don't make this a little bit more specific? If you got a situation, if you got somebody that you're just dreaming about the day they come to church, maybe it's a family member or a boss or somebody, you're just dreaming about the day they're going to be on an apostolic pew. I think it's time for somebody to begin to prepare for that party. Let's fatten the calf. If maybe you're, whatever the situation is, get something specific in your mind. They're going to begin to sing again. I want you to shout and rejoice for that moment. Begin to praise God like it's already happened. Because if God said it, it's going to happen. Come on, let's begin to praise him again as they sing. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.